It's time for our weekly parenting discussion with the Mocha Moms. Today, a special Mocha Moms discussion on mothers and depression. Our conversation is sparked by one of those news stories so terrible you don't even want to hear it all the way through. So just briefly, you've heard about Andrea Yates, who killed her five children. Now comes the story of Gilberta Estrada. Funeral services were held yesterday for the 25-year-old Texas woman who's believed to have hanged herself and her four children in their home while suffering from depression. Only the youngest, an 8-month-old, survived. Of the 19 million people suffering from depression, 12 million are women. And for many women, depression strikes during the prime childbearing years. Here to talk about this sensitive topic are our regulars, Jolene Ivey, co-founder of the Mocha Moms and a mother of five, Shelley English Figaro, Mocha Moms president emerita and a mother of three. We're also joined by writer Tracy Thompson. She is our guest mom and the author of The Ghost in the House, a book about motherhood and depression. She's also the author of a previous work, The Beast, about her own struggles with depression. Welcome, Tracy.
Thank you.
And welcome, moms,
Thanks.
As usual.
Thanks, Michelle.
Tracy, we've all heard about postpartum depression, but you're going to tell us about maternal depression. How is that different?
Well, basically, maternal depression is depression that is created by or exacerbated by the stresses common to motherhood. And motherhood is a pretty high-stress occupation. That's these days, that's something that people tend not to talk about because motherhood is idealized so much. But it's really, really true. Mothers are held to a higher standard these days than ever before.
You know, we are kind of a let-it-all-hang-out society. You know, we talk about everything. You still think that there's a special stigma attached to mothers who are depressed?
Yeah. Motherhood is supposed to make you happy, you know? And if you have weeks or months in which you're snapping at your kids and you can't sleep, that's considered poor parenting. Nobody wants to admit to being a poor parent. So I think definitely mothers have a huge incentive to try to cover this up and pretend it's not there.
But you've battled with depression for most of your adult life, right?
Yes.
Which predates your being a parent. So
right.
How did you come to associate the maternal depression with just the depression that you have struggled with throughout your life?
Well, before I became a mom, depression was a chronic illness, and work was something that was separate from depression, and it would be a way to get my mind off of things. But when you become a mother, your work is you. Your children don't want a part of you. They want all of you, and they want it 24/7, pretty much. And they know something's wrong, and it's something that really affects children.
Jolene, if I can ask you, you've got five kids. Do you think you ever suffered from maternal depression?
Oh, there's no doubt about it. And some of it would be just the what you would call the baby blues after a baby's born. And I think your hormones are crashing within a couple of weeks of the birth. And I'm not even thinking about that. I'd say the worst I've been through was when I was pregnant with my fifth child and I was put on bed rest. And I had to, all of a sudden, when I felt totally fine, had to lay down on my couch for 3 months and not be able to take care of my other kids. And it was horrible for me. I mean, I really, really was depressed. And I don't think anybody knew it or understood it in any real way. And so that felt pretty alone, too.
But how did you know you were depressed as opposed to having the baby blues?
Well, I wasn't able to put a name to it until it was over. But while I was going through it, I pretty much cried all the time, which was, you know, misery. And my kids will come up to me and, oh, mommy, you know, and try to make me feel better. But it's hard to have your kids comfort you. It's hard to have your kids be the one who have to do everything and you're directing them from the couch. I mean, it's miserable.
Shelley, what about you? Did you experience this?
Yeah, definitely. I'm an only child. And we moved. My husband was at the time active duty military. And so we were new to the area. And I was pregnant. I had my first child. And I mentioned that I'm an only child because I had never even held a baby. I think I held a baby for 5 minutes prior to having my own child. So I had my parents and every friend I ever had 300, 400 miles away. I had this new baby who was colicky. He was horrible. He was the child that got kicked out of the military nursery because he wouldn't stop crying. So that's the kind of kid I came home with. And I remember my parents came down and stayed for a couple of weeks, and that was great because I was close to my mom and my dad, and I was so great. And I didn't have that many friends. I didn't really have any friends, any mommy friends, certainly none in the state of Maryland or Washington, D.C.
But how did you know you were depressed?
Because after my mom left, and it was the first day home alone with my baby who cried constantly, I was just weepy. I didn't know what I was going to do. I'm like, oh my gosh, someone left this kid with me. Someone come take this kid. I was miserable. So what I did was I started grabbing onto anchors. And my first anchor was my mother. And what I mean by anchor is that I started my day with a phone call to my mother. And as my son got older and I met more friends, I had different anchors. So even today, to this day, I talk to my sister friend. I don't have any real siblings, but my sister friend. And we talk every day that the Lord brings. We talk at 6 o'clock in the morning.
Can I ask you this, Shelley, and forgive me, it's a very personal question. Did you ever think about harming your child or yourself? Did you ever have fantasies about that in the course
of
this?
No, I never had that. Never had that. I didn't want to harm myself or my child.
Oh, I had fantasies about it when my first baby was born, who was also the worst baby in the whole world. And I didn't know what to do. And I would have fantasies. It was cold outside. It was snowing. And I would think I could throw the baby through the window and I could visualize him going through the window and then the screen and then out into the snow. And then he would not be with me. And wouldn't that be nice? And I never was tempted to actually do it. But I did think of it, and it made me feel bad that I would even think it. But, you know, but I did.
Mm-hmm. I distinctly remember a trip that we made when Emma was about 6 months old, I guess, up to see some friends in New York City. It was a long drive up there. We got there very late in the evening. It was about 11 or 12. And this was a kid who was always difficult to get to sleep. We joked that putting her to sleep was like defusing a live hand grenade. And I remember sitting on the edge of the bed and holding her and having this overwhelming impulse to shake her, to get her to be quiet.
Did you speak about it? Did you ever say anything to anybody about
it? No, not at the time. It was all I could do to not do it. And I've also had times, we're talking about depression here in the context of small babies. Since my kids have been bigger, I've had episodes of depression, and it's your kids want you to read them a book, and you say, no, I don't want to. And they say, Mommy, watch, and you say, later. Or you're just busy watching TV, or you're just not with them. You may be physically in the room, but you're just not there.
Does the guilt kick in then? I mean, even as you're saying no,
horrible
is the guilt,
guilt
kicking in that I am
horrible
the worst
guilt.
Mother in the world?
Yeah. That's why I call my book The Ghost in the House, because that's what it's like. A depressed mom is sort of like a ghost. And I sort of think of it as this black and white person in a world full of color.
How do you get out of it?
Sometimes it requires adjustments and medication, going up on something or trying a new combination of drugs. Sleep is absolutely essential. I go insane if I don't have my sleep. And sometimes that puts extra stress on my husband because, you know, especially on the weekends, I just have to sleep.
Where are the husbands in this now that we're talking about this? Tracy, was it hard to explain to your husband what was going on with you? Was it hard to enlist him as an ally?
No, actually.
Did you even know what was going on with you?
Oh, yeah. I knew what was going on with me. I was hospitalized when I had a suicidal depression back in 1990, before I ever met my husband. And I remember on like our third date, I was thinking, I was really liking this guy a lot. And I hadn't mentioned anything to him. And I remember sitting in a restaurant with him and saying, speaking of baggage.
By the way.
Yeah.
By the way, yeah.
And he told me later his heart just sank. He thought I was going to say, I have a psychotic ex-boyfriend, or I have three kids from a previous marriage or something. He was taken aback. He went home and he thought about it, and he basically came to the conclusion that he was interested in me anyway, and so I don't feel like I have to hide this. That doesn't make it easy, but I definitely don't feel like I have to hide it.
Tracy, when is it time to pick up the phone and get help, and what kind of help do you need?
When you start realizing that it's been weeks since you've felt happy, when you have any kind of thoughts of harming yourself or your kids, if you start abusing drugs, and I don't mean street drugs, I mean like taking an extra dose of Tylenol PM at night so you can go to sleep faster and escape, I think that's a red flag right there.
If you knew then what you know now about depression and motherhood, is there anything you'd have done differently that you can pass on to others who may be listening to our conversation today?
Yeah, I would have not tried to go off my medication when I was pregnant. And also, I would not have stressed out so much about breastfeeding. Breastfeeding ended prematurely for both my kids. And I'm sorry about that. I wish I could have done it differently, you know. On the other hand, they needed a sane mommy more than they needed my breast milk. So, but at the time, oh my God, I agonized about that. I used to walk around the neighborhood with tears streaming down my face because, and in retrospect, I think, how silly. It just wasn't worth all that angst.
It's kind of the same advice Jolene was giving, which is lose the guilt.
Right.
And in your case, also, you know, check with your doctor and be sure you're getting the advice that you need.
Okay. Right.
Thank you so much. Tracy Thompson is the author of The Ghost in the House, Motherhood, Raising Children, and Struggling with Depression. She joined us here in the studio today. We were also joined by our regulars, Jolene Ivey, co-founder of the Mocha Moms, and Shelley English Figaro, co-founder of the Mocha Moms, and President Emerita, who are also here in the studio, as they are every week. Thank you so much for joining us, moms.
Thank you for having us.
The Ghost in the House is available at most major bookstores. You can find out more information on the Mocha Moms and Tracy Thompson at our website, npr.org/tellmemore.